Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death by Sandra Champlain is a spiritual inquiry and grief-oriented narrative that follows the author's long transition from fear and skepticism to a firm belief that consciousness continues after bodily death. Rather than presenting a single religious doctrine, Champlain frames the book as an investigation motivated by personal anxiety about dying and later sharpened by family loss. She surveys a range of experiences and claims commonly discussed in afterlife literature, including mediumship, near-death experiences, deathbed phenomena, and electronic voice phenomena, and she reflects on how these accounts affected her worldview. A distinctive feature is the author's practical orientation chapters often push the reader to test ideas, reflect on personal experience, and move from passive hoping to active inquiry. The book's purpose is twofold: to argue that survival after death is plausible and to reduce the suffering that comes with grief by offering a different understanding of what death means. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a skeptical starting point and a personal motive for inquiry. A central topic is Champlain's initial stance. She presents herself as someone who did not begin with a belief in psychics or mystical explanations and who was troubled by the fear of death. That starting point matters because it shapes the book's tone and method. Well, instead of asking readers to accept comforting claims, she invites them to follow a process of questioning, exposure to testimony, and gradual revision of assumptions. The narrative is driven by relatable motivations, the desire to calm anxiety about dying, and the need to make sense of loss. This makes the book less like a purely metaphysical manifesto and more like an account of lived problem solving. Champlain emphasizes that her conclusions were not instantaneous, describing a long period of exploration across multiple sources and perspectives, even for readers who remain unconvinced. This framing clarifies the book's main promise. It aims to model how an everyday person can move from uncertainty to a more settled view about mortality. The skeptical origin also helps explain why the book often highlights evidential themes and direct experience over abstract theology. Secondly, surveying afterlife evidence across multiple reported phenomena, Champlain builds her case by surveying a broad set of phenomena commonly associated with survival of consciousness. She discusses mediumship and psychic-related claims, as well as near-death experiences and deathbed visitations, treating them as different windows into the same overarching question of whether personal identity continues. The book also references electronic voice phenomena, reflecting her interest in reports of communication that people believe occur through recording devices. Rather than focusing on a single category of proof, she gathers many types of accounts and emphasizes patterns that she finds persuasive, including the recurring idea that deceased loved ones remain aware and capable of contact. This multi-pronged approach is important to the book's strategy. It suggests that the argument does not depend on one controversial method alone. The breadth also helps the book function as an introduction for readers new to the topic, giving them a map of the major areas they might explore further. At the same time, Champlain generally presents the material in an accessible, narrative style, prioritizing what these reports mean for fear, grief, and everyday life rather than turning the book into a technical research review. Thirdly, grief, the brain, and the practical need for emotional relief. Alongside the afterlife investigation, the book treats grief as a real and urgent human problem, not merely a philosophical side effect. Champlain connects her search for survival evidence with the emotional and cognitive realities of bereavement, including how loss can reshape attention, memory, and daily functioning. Public descriptions of the book highlight that she spent substantial time studying the brain's role during grief, and this theme supports a pragmatic goal helping readers reduce pain while they process loss. The emphasis is not that grief disappears through belief, but that understanding the mind and body can change how one carries sorrow. This angle distinguishes the book from many afterlife titles that concentrate mainly on metaphysical claims. Champlain positions relief as something that can be pursued through education, reflection, and supportive practices, especially for those who feel isolated by grief or reluctant to speak about it. The grief focus also broadens the audience. Even readers who are uncertain about mediumship or spiritual experiences may still find value in a compassionate framework that validates mourning and encourages constructive coping. In this way, the book links existential questions to everyday mental health and resilience. Fourthly, reader participation through exercises and personal experimentation. A notable element is the book's interactive structure. Reviews and descriptions indicate that chapters include homework-style assignments designed to move readers from passive consumption to active engagement. This approach fits Champlain's overall message: if the fear of death is partly fueled by uncertainty, then first-hand exploration and reflective practice can reduce helplessness. The exercises are framed as invitations to test ideas, notice experiences, and build one's own understanding rather than relying entirely on the author's conclusions. In practical terms, this makes the book closer to a guided journey than a simple argument. For grieving readers, the assignments can also function as a way to restore agency at a time when life feels out of control. For skeptical readers, they provide a structure for inquiry that does not require joining a specific religion. The emphasis on doing and observing reinforces the book's tone of empowerment. It encourages readers to become investigators of their own beliefs, biases, and experiences. Even when the subject matter is extraordinary, this participatory design keeps the focus grounded in personal process, helping explain why many readers describe the book as comforting and actionable, rather than purely speculative. Lastly, a continuum of consciousness and the reframe of life, death, and purpose, the book repeatedly returns to a larger interpretive frame, the idea that consciousness is continuous and that physical death is a transition rather than an endpoint. Champlain uses this perspective to reframe not only the fate of deceased loved ones, but also the meaning of being alive. If death is not annihilation, then fear can loosen its grip, and daily life can be approached with more intention. This theme also supports the book's promise of comfort. Believing that loved ones remain present in some form can soften feelings of abandonment and finality. Importantly, Champlain does not position the topic as abstract speculation. She links it to practical outcomes such as living with more joy, making choices with less dread, and experiencing grief with a wider horizon of meaning. The continuum idea helps integrate the diverse phenomena she explores into a single story about what a human being is. It also explains the book's appeal beyond bereavement, reaching readers interested in self-discovery and consciousness. In a crowded genre, the combination of personal skepticism, broad exploration, and life purpose reframing gives the book a clear identity. It is as much about how to live without constant fear as it is about what may happen after death. In conclusion, We Don't Die is best suited to readers who are grieving, afraid of death, or curious about afterlife claims but unwilling to accept them solely on faith. It offers a guided narrative of one person's long attempt to evaluate common forms of survival evidence, while keeping the emotional reality of loss in view. Readers looking for comfort may benefit from its repeated emphasis that connection does not necessarily end with physical death, and from its compassionate tone toward people who feel overwhelmed by sorrow. Readers who prefer action over theory may also appreciate the practical, homework-oriented structure that encourages reflection and personal experimentation rather than passive agreement. The book stands out in the life after death category because it is framed as a skeptical conversion story paired with a grief support mission. Instead of relying on one single evidential lane, it surveys multiple reported phenomena and uses them to build an accessible, cumulative case. While it may not satisfy those who want strictly peer-reviewed proof, it can still provide intellectual value as a map of the main areas people explore when questioning mortality. Ultimately, its distinctive contribution is the blend of inquiry and consolation. It argues that investigating these questions can change how we live now, reducing fear and making room for meaning, connection, and resilience. If you would like to support Sandra Champlain, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.